You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful singing, and thank you, Dr. Patterson, for your somewhat kind introduction. We appreciate you and love you very much. And Mrs. Dorothy Patterson, so great to see you. And just thank the world of this this president and his wife, and so thankful for Great Hills. Thank you guys for, they got up early this morning. They had to leave about 6:15 or so, and so they're here with us to worship and to see the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're real excited about that. And I'm very blessed to have my wife, Ashley, here with us, and also her mother from Daphne, Alabama. That would make her my mother-in-law, whom I love very much, by the way. Miss Evelyn is here, and next to her is Ashley's sister, Aunt Michelle. So I'm just so glad you guys are here with us. And I just love my family. I'm very, very blessed. My mother-in-law, she walks with the Lord. She's a godly woman, and so is Aunt Michelle. And we're just really blessed. God has given me a word for chapel today, and I'm so excited. I'm about to have a holy explosion up here. And I am so excited about this message God has given me. When they asked me months ago to come and preach, I began to pray, and I've spent time praying and fasting about, God, what do you want me to say? And the heavens were as brass. I mean, it was just quiet. And up until just a couple of days ago, God just really released me to preach this message. And I want to share this message in hopes that it will really encourage you. And those of you that are faculty and administration, but preeminently those of you who are students, because I have sat where you sit today for 9 years, spent 9 years of my life right here on the hill on Southwestern Seminary, and loved every bit of it. But this message that God has given me, I really hope and I pray that it will bless you and it will encourage you, and you will go away saying, I was glad that I met the Lord today in His Word, and God spoke to me, and God, He encouraged me, and God changed me. So if you have your Bible, I want to share with you a message out of Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. The title of the sermon is Boat Jumping and Water Walking. So you'll know the text when we open it up and read this powerful narrative, this passage of Scripture that Matthew, Mark, and John, three of the Gospel writers, record this passage of Scripture. But only Matthew records the part where Peter has the audacity and the faith to get out of the boat, and literally, for those few gravity-defying moments, he literally walks on the water. Now, if you're here today and you would say, well, Brother Danny, I'm still one of those who believes in the supernatural. I believe if the Bible says that Jesus and Peter walked on the water, then that's exactly what happened. I believe it. Would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm in the right place. Amen. I appreciate that. This whole anti-supernaturalism bias, I tell you, be gone with that. We believe in the sacred scriptures, and if this God, come on now, if this God can walk on the water and empower Peter to walk on the water, just imagine what he can do in your life and in my life today. He's an awesome God. So we're going to read the text, and it goes like this. I'm jacked up. I'm not going to kid you, Matt. This is exciting stuff. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Please underscore that. Remember that. Jesus made them get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they said, Phantasmos, it's a phantom, it's a ghost. And they cried out for great phobos, great phobia, fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, and he said three things. Take courage. I am. I am. Stop being afraid. Wow, was that not preach or what? Is that an awesome message for us today? Okay, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he... Just pretend you've never read this before, okay? Familiarity breeds contempt often. He did what? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, conjunction, junction, watch your function. Here it is, but. However, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He began to sink and he cried out and he said, Lord, save me. And immediately, by the way, this passage is all about Jesus, okay? There is some anthropology, there is some Peter here, but I'm telling you, it is mostly Christology. It is about the person and the dynamic work of the Son of God. And look at it, he says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, he caught Peter and he said to him, oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and they worshiped him and they said, truly, you are the Son of God. Yes, this text is about Jesus. But Peter is a secondary character, and he really plays a pivotal role in this pericope, in this narrative. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to walk through this text. And my prayer, my great desire is this, that you came here today saying, God, am I really supposed to be at Southwestern Seminary? Lord, what in the world am I doing with my life? God, did you really call me? God, did you really lead me here? And I'm just going to come alongside of you today with a resounding amen. Yes, brother. He doesn't make no mistakes, all right? He's got you here at this time, at this place, for such a time as this, because God's got great, big plans for you. He's going to use you to change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was imperative. You had to come to Southwestern Seminary because you don't know everything. You got to learn some things. Some of you got to be humble before the Lord. Amen. Greek and Hebrew will do it every time. You're going to humble yourself before the Lord. And God is going to use you to change the world just like he used Peter. I love Peter, and here's why. He is passionate. If there is one apostle that I relate to, it is this guy. I mean, he sometimes says things at the wrong time. He's kind of quick-tempered, you know, and kind of built that way. And he reminds me of a little boy named Johnny. Every teacher has a Johnny. Johnny, fourth grade, came back from spring break, and the teacher said, would anybody like to share what you did in spring break? Boy, there goes Johnny's hand. He always tells these tall tales, and the teacher, she just kind of, she shook her head. She said, okay, Johnny, what is it this time? Well, go ahead and tell us. He said, okay, thank you, ma'am. My dad and I went fishing. We caught 75 catfish, and every one of them weighed 75 pounds. The teacher, she thought to herself, yeah, I'm going to get him. I'm going to teach him a lesson. She said, now, Johnny, you cannot expect me as your teacher or your classmates to believe such a tall tale. That would be like me saying, on my way to school today, there was an 800-pound ferocious grizzly bear came out of the neighborhood. And all of a sudden, there was an 8-pound little poodle dog ran up to that grizzly bear, grabbed it by the neck and slammed it down and killed that bear. You wouldn't believe that now, would you, Johnny? He said, oh, yes, ma'am, that's my dog you're talking about. I love people like that. I mean, passionate people. And that's Peter. Peter is the only one who went boat jumping and water walking and lived to tell about it. And I believe we've got some strong Petrine people in the house today. That God is going to use you to do the supernatural. Ooh, I really believe this. God is going to use you to do the supernatural so that people are going to look at you and say, my, how did you do that? How did you conquer that? How did God lead you to plant that church there? How did God lead you to send your life over to be a missionary? And you'll say these words, I'm telling you, my God is an awesome God. He's the one that gets the glory. Oh, I got to hurry. Dr. Patterson, I've got a lot to say and a few minutes to say it. This is one long introduction, but I'm not done, so stay with me. There's some interesting things going on in this text. John tells us that in the parallel passage, that Jesus had just fed the 5,000, sent the disciples away. They were in Tiberias on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on top of the mountain, and there he prayed. One scholar I read in the Holman commentary said that he believes that Jesus could actually see them from where he was on the mountain. And moonlit night, and springtime, and he could look down and he could see them actually toiling and having difficulty before he made his way to them. Mark's rendition is really interesting. Mark says something that nobody else says. You remember this passage when he says, they're toiling, they're struggling, and Jesus would have passed them by. I really wrestled with that. Have you ever read a passage of Scripture that says, what does that mean? That Jesus saw them and they were struggling. In the parallel text, you can read it, it says he would have passed them by. Some people explain it this way. Jesus was testing them. You're in trouble. What are you going to do? Call out to me. I think that's pretty axiomatic. Now, that's pretty understandable that, yeah, if there's interest, that Greek word is parerchomai. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, that word is used in a couple of very fascinating, interesting places. Some of you are looking at me like, I bet you're going to tell me where, and I am. Listen to this. Exodus 33:20-23, God reveals himself to Moses, and he says, and Moses, get up here on the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to parerchomai, I'm going to pass you by. And Elijah, remember this. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, God said, stand on the mountain, and the Lord, parerchomai, God passed him by. Now, I know that's an anthropomorphism because I know God is a spirit, but God is speaking to us in language that we as mortals can understand. And so, isn't that interesting that the same language used to describe Yahweh, the God Almighty of the Old Testament, is the same language used to describe this individual. And I'm telling you, he's just not no ordinary individual. He is, woo, listen to this, he is Yahweh come in the flesh. He is the Son of the living God. Who else do you know can walk on water? You know what I'm saying? And so there he is. He's passing them by. They call out to him. And all of a sudden, one of them has a bold idea. I think I will jump out of this boat and walk to Jesus. Now, here's the three things I want to share with you. Number one. If you're going to go boat jumping and water walking and do great things for God, first of all, you have to stop being afraid or fearful, trepidation, intimidation. It's interesting. Verse 27, this is my favorite text. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and he said, literally, take courage. In the midst of you thinking you're going to die in the Sea of Galilee, this little squall, this little miniature, little hurricane has come up and the boat is rocking back and forth. And here's what you need to know. You need to know that I'm here. Take courage in the fact that I, the Son of God, I am on the scene and it's going to be okay. Ooh, listen to the second one. Listen to this one. And then he said, ergo, I me. He said, I am. Woo! Man, when he said that, I believe the waves just stopped for a minute. Listen, those are the words of Exodus 3. Those are the words of Yahweh and his theophanies when he says, I am Moses. I am the one who sent you. And so Jesus says, listen, he said that in John chapter 8. And when he said, I am, and equated himself with Almighty God, that they picked up the stones, they were ready to kill him. But listen to this. Take courage. I am. Ooh, listen to this next part. Stop being afraid. Present imperative with that strong may negation. In the Greek, a good translation of that is, a mild translation is, hey, don't be afraid. A good translation is, stop. Stop being afraid. Who needs to hear that today? Who needs to hear, stop being so fearful? Why are you so worried? Did I not create you? Did I not save you? Did I not send you here? Did I not call you? Stop being afraid. I'm convinced before we can do great things for God, we're going to have to overcome our fearfulness. And some of you I'm preaching to today, you know who you are, and you know that you struggle in this area. You know you struggle with fear because fear and faith cannot coexist in the same heart. One is going to dominate the other. My prayers is God would release you. God would strengthen you. And and Satan would quit intimidating you, and you would remember who you are and whose you are, and that Almighty God has spoken. Take courage. Stop being afraid. I am. Okay? Point number two. The second thing I want to share with you out of this text is, aren't you ready? You got to get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. That's what Peter did. He literally got out of the boat. And I heard one person comment it this way. I think it was Iris Blue. And she said, I'd rather be a wet sinner than a dry boat dweller any day. And I like that. And so here we go. Get out of the boat. Y'all indulge me with a little metaphor and allegory for just a moment. What is your boat? Now, what are you in? What are you fearful? What is it that God wants you to do? Listen to this. And the icy tentacles of fear are wrapped around your heart, and you're listening to the whispers of the world and the enemy saying, you could never do that. And yet Almighty God says, oh, yes, you can, because I called you to do it, and I will empower you to do it. So quit being afraid, and let's get going. Let's do it. Let me share a couple things with you that I want to do. Lord willing, before I die, I'm not a big game hunter, kill animals that try to eat you kind of guy. He is. That's fascinating to me. I love that. But I've got a couple things I want to do. And I shared with a close friend of mine, Dr. Patterson, one time, and I thought he would encourage me. And I told him what they were, and he looked at me and goes, you can't do that. Y'all have anybody like that in your life? Have the spiritual gift of discouragement. You're just you. You could never do that. Well, when I was pastoring in another state, another city, the Lord blessed and allowed us to lead a 3-star general to Christ, Bruce Wright. His name is literally Orville Wright. Yeah. And so he, about 52 years of age, started attending our church. I had a meeting with him and with his wife and his 16-year-old daughter. And Bruce, 52-year-old general, and his 16-year-old daughter prayed to receive Christ there in my office. The mom, she's already saved, and so I got to baptize him and the daughter. And that particular Sunday, we had a mayor and his wife. We had a holy party that morning. It was awesome. So not long after that, he said, let's go play golf. Man. And so I went and played golf, and all of a sudden, an F-15 fighter jet flew overhead. That was my dream, to fly in one of those things. And he looked at me, and he looked up at the sky. He said, you ever flown in one of those, Pastor? I said, no, sir. He said, would you like to? I said, oh, yes, sir, I would love to. He said, we'll make this happen. October 31st, a few years ago, showed up at Langley Air Force Base at 8 a.m. I was ecstatic. I was going to get to fly in the back seat of an F-15 fighter jet salute. It's going to be awesome. So we get in there, and I think, this is going to be great. It'll take about 30 minutes. They'll tell me what I need to do. I'll get in the plane. I'll fly, and then I'll come down, live and tell about it. It'll be an awesome story. No. Listen, when you go fly in the back seat of an F-15 fighter jet, it is a process. You show up, and they start taking you through hours of training. And one of the things, I have to fit my big old head with this helmet, and they had to put this G-suit on me, and that constricts when you're up in the atmosphere. And then they went into the simulation thing, and they said, now, we got to prepare you to tell you what to do in case this thing begins to crash. What's that about crashing? What are you talking about? He says, well, listen. If that pilot passes out, you either got to land this $22 million aircraft or you got to eject. Do you understand me, sir? And I was like, what's up with this? I started getting nervous. My heart started beating really fast. I thought, I don't know that I want to do this. This is not such a great idea after all. And they said, well, come with me. So we go, and I got this big old suit thing, walking on this big old helmet. I'm walking toward the tarmac. I'm about to get on this plane. And that pilot, I have a picture of him in a moment. I'm showing it to you. This pilot said, Pastor, you may want to get you some bananas over there. And I said, why bananas? He said, well, they taste the same coming up as they do going down. And I said, and I had no idea how queasy I was getting already. Hey, let me tell you something. I said, let's do this. I got in the back seat of that jet. We took off. We got permission from the control. We went vertical, went 500 miles an hour. I mean, we pulled 5 G's. I threw up 10 times, put it in my bag. It was awesome. And I lived to tell about it. When we landed, I thought that was the most amazing thing. I got to do that. You say, why do you share that story with me? Because I wanted to. All right, in here. Let me show you a picture just to give you proof that this really did. That's me 15 pounds ago, and that is Ogre. That's his name, Ogre. And that's the F-15 jet that we got in. Listen, if you got a big, audacious dream and you want to do it, then I just say do it. If you want to go hunting, go hunting. If you want to do something fun and if it's in God's will, then do it. Listen, there's nothing really spiritual about Peter getting out of that boat and walking on the water. He just wanted to do it. And Jesus said, come on and do it. I wonder today if God is saying to you, come on, let's do this. Let's go overseas, or let's go talk to our neighbor, or let's give it our best, or let's ask her out on a date. Whatever it is, all right? Let's do this and empower you, stop being afraid, and then step out of the boat. Cowardice screams, stay where you are. But the voice of truth and the voice of courage says, come on. So what do you say? I mean, what is it that God's saying in a moment like this? You know, it could be that God is speaking to some of us today about some things we need to quit doing. Maybe some questionable habit. As Evan Roberts said, if it's questionable, stop doing it. That's going to hurt some of y'all later on. I'm sorry, but that's a good word. If you doubt you should be doing it, then you shouldn't be doing it. But it could be something you should be doing. It should be something that is bold and audacious, and only you are the one that's supposed to do it. Stop being afraid. Get out of the boat. Here's the last thing, and we're almost done. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Christ. It's true in the physical realm. It's also true in the spiritual realm. And I don't want to be long here, but I do have to point this out, that Peter, he's doing okay. He come down out of the boat. He walked on the water. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the waves, when all of a sudden he's looking at Christ and he stops looking at Christ and he starts sinking, he starts getting in trouble. And Jesus, and I love what Jesus does here. Aren't you glad that our God is infinitely kind? Jesus did not look at Peter and say, you nitwit, you just sink on down. I told you to look at me. You didn't look at me and just drown. I'll get some more people to follow me. Just die. He didn't do that. He did not do that. He reached down and he said, Peter, I could just see Christ just smiling, saying, Peter, oh, you of little. That's just not Peter that needed to hear that. That's us. God has done great things in our lives. But in a moment of crisis, a moment of difficulty, a moment of trial, we all develop spiritual amnesia and we start looking at other things and we get our mind off of God, we get our mind off of the Word of God, and we begin to sink. Here's the thing. Keep your focus on the Lord. Now, remember when I said earlier, accentuate this little statement that Jesus told them, get into the boat, knowing full well what was going to happen to them on the sea. Could it be that God in His sovereign will would allow you and I to go through some hard, hard times? Let me just answer that rhetorical question. I'm going to go ahead and answer it. Yes. God will allow us, knowing full well what is going to happen to us. And the obstacles, can I just get real with you for just a minute? When God asks you to do something great, the moment you start to accomplish it is the moment it's going to happen. And it's going to be bad. I mean, obstacles, difficulty, trials, lack of money, lack of resources, people who are discouraging you. Listen to me carefully. What you do next is paramount. You can quit. You can go back to mama. You can go home. You can leave this place. Or you can just say, well, I'm just going to quit on that. No, you're not. Because you're going to know that, listen, If Jesus led you here, Jesus has got a purpose for you being here, and you need to stay here until Jesus sends you somewhere else, all right? Y'all know the story of George Mueller. It's one of my favorite stories. 19th century pastor in Bristol, England. Him and his wife, doing great, by the way. Church is growing. They started a theological institution there within their church. Great things were happening. Until a little street urchin, a little child, comes up and has hardly any clothes on, just matted hair, dirt poor. And George Mueller's heart was broken. And he took this little child in. He ended up taking thousands of little children in and putting them in orphanages, building orphanage after orphanage. And that's how we know him. One day, this day always happens. 300 of them show up to eat breakfast. And there is no food. There is not a scrap of bread. There's not an ounce of milk, nothing. And George Mueller says, "Come in, boys and girls. We're going to pray and have the blessing." And some of the workers in the kitchen were like, "Pastor's lost his mind. There is no food. There is nothing to bless." True story. George Mueller, Jeff and Janet Binge, page 166 through 168. Here's what happened. As he was praying, he got a knock on the door. And it was a local baker. And the baker said, "You know, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning and I just felt for some odd reason I needed to bake some extra bread. I probably lost my mind. Y'all don't need any extra bread today, do you?" George Mueller just smiled and said, "Thank you very much." They came in and started eating bread. It just gets gooder and gooder. Listen to this. Knock on the door, and it's the local milkman. And the milkman, he's all mad because his cart had broken down, and he was just all feisty, and he says, "I got to unload all this milk. Y'all don't need 10 canisters of milk, do you?" And so they fed the chick. Listen, just because things are getting hard, this is a good word, listen. Just because things are hard does not mean you're out of the will of God. It means precisely that you're in the will of God. And he's leading you. He's directing you. He's testing you. But he's saying, "Look at me. Don't be afraid. Let's do this. Keep your eyes, keep your focus on me." Well, there's some more things I want to say, but I'll give you the manuscript. You can look at it sometime. But here's the message I want to close with. I want to encourage you. This is not the most expositional message, Dr. Patterson, I've ever preached, but it's the message. God, I wanted to preach something else, you know, more textual, and God says, "No, you're going to preach this, because there's one lady out there that is full of fear, and I'm going to replace it with faith, and I'm going to encourage her to never, never give up." And there's a young man out there, or there may be a faculty member or somebody in the administration who just needs to hear this, that I am in control. Follow me and don't be fearful. Can I pray for you? I'll close my message with prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is timeless, that it is true. And Lord, just as you have delivered and encouraged and blessed your saints through the centuries, Lord, in this day and age where we are walking with you and we're serving you, and God, we have calamities and we have trials and temptations and we have great reservation and doubt. But I thank you, God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God who calls us is the God who equips us. And so I pray for this dear seminary family, that God, that you would continue to bless them and that you would continue to use them to do awesome things. But Lord, I also pray that you would take away any residue of doubt or fear and just remind them of who you are and whose they are. And I thank you, Lord, for the great, great things that you're going to continue to accomplish as we get out of our boats, Lord, and start walking towards you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.